Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today, we're going to talk about lying in the workplace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, whether it's lying about your experience or your credentials on a resume or telling white lies for your boss or your clients.
Woo!
You know, I've always thought that honesty was kind of subjective anyway.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell sometimes when telling the truth is the best policy. Or who's telling the truth, right?
It's so true. I mean, I love this topic. I hope we don't run on too long.
But, so many layers.
Yeah.
There are many layers to it. It's true.
So before we go on to our questions, I just want to report back on that newly hired assistant to the famous photographer. Remember
yes.
we talked about him last week?
Yeah.
Who didn't like his job because he was doing mostly clerical work.
Right. He was very disappointed, if I remember correctly.
He was very upset about it. But so where he is right now is that he's decided to stay for a year.
Ooh, smart.
And really learn the industry and learn what he can. And I don't think every day is going to be fabulous, but I think that that's a very smart decision. So we'll follow back and let you know if anything changes with
and
that.
That also often happens in these kinds of situations, right, Kathy, where you're in a position that's the title is more glamorous than the actual work, but you're really learning about an industry and forming relationships within the industry for that 1 year or, 18-month period so that you can move on to your next opportunity.
Yeah, I think that really is the case. It's rare that you really step in the perfect position the first time.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot to be learned. So this is still going to do him well, I think, to stick out the first year and learn what he can.
So we'll keep posted, right? We'll keep a tab on what's going on.
Yeah, we'll follow through on him. Logan, what's question number one today?
I work as the department manager of a very large retail chain store. I recently hired a floor manager whose resume looked great. I was short on time, so I hired him quickly. Now I've discovered that he lied about his past work experiences on his resume. What do I do?
I hope he didn't hire him on full time and gave like a 3-month trial basis.
Uh-huh.
I hope, but a lot of people don't do that. They just quickly hire somebody on. That's why you don't hire somebody quickly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you never know whether they're telling the truth or not. You don't know about the truth of their experience and their capabilities.
What's one of the things that you find out if you take your time?
Going back to my dating analy, which you find irritating.
Here we go.
I don't find it irritating. I think it's chock full.
Yeah, you have to date before you go steady, right? So same is true with work relationships. You have to let someone show you who they are. Because there are many people who interview very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly many people who lie on their resumes.
Many people. Yeah. Right, so you know that it's pretty common.
Oh, I found a very fun fact I'd like to share.
Oh, please.
That apparently there's a Harris poll commissioned by Career Builders last fall.
Mm-hmm.
58% of hiring managers have caught lies on resumes.
58%?
But those are the ones that are caught.
Yeah, and they include... Right, that's exactly right.
There's more.
They include academic degrees,
uh-huh.
technical certificates, work experience, and skills.
All right, who here has ever lied on their resume?
Nobody? Nobody?
Cricket. No.
I'm afraid that I'll get caught.
Exactly.
I'm not a very good liar.
I'm not a good liar either.
Oh, well, I lied early on. I don't need to anymore, but I did early on. I lied. I made up stuff.
What'd you lie about?
I said I stayed places longer than I actually had.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like that. I mean,
okay.
I never lied about the job because I know they check on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I lied about how long. I also lied about what I did there.
I
added
a couple of things. Clean the toilets.
No, not that. It was more like management.
A team of 20.
Yeah, I made myself look like I was more experienced. I mean, it was not accurate, but it wasn't that far-fetched.
All right, so what you're saying is this is not uncommon.
It's not uncommon.
And actually, it's very common perhaps for someone who's trying to build their career in the early stages.
It is. I mean, if you
to
really...
To embellish the truth.
I think it's at a certain time in your career, if you told the truth, you would not get another job. Because, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I say start your building your resume out of the womb. You know, that's... I think that building your resume is something that really should be started as soon as possible, really.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding. It has to get started in high school. And you have to think about every job that you get, even in high school.
Even volunteer experiences, right?
I think it's important so that you show a career path. Now, you may not know what you want to do,
yeah,
but you should show some consistency.
Now, what I have done is I've selected from my work experiences the specific skills I want to use going forward.
Well, that's different. Mm-hmm. That's normal. Oh. That's normal life. Mm-hmm. No, that's
normal.
Well, many people have several versions of their resume.
That's
where
right.
they emphasize
right.
certain things
right.
because the others don't matter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not lying.
Yeah.
That's presentation.
Yeah. Editing.
Well, it's how you present yourself.
Yeah.
But it's all honest. But anyway, lying is fairly common. But I don't mm-hmm. know what this person caught, but I think the fact that they wrote it to us tells me that they caught something big.
Yeah. And that they're not happy now, perhaps
right.
with their selection of this person.
Right.
So aren't there companies that have policies about if they discover lies? I mean, certainly if they discover that you have a record being arrested or something
right.
after
well,
you've said
different.
You haven't, then that's grounds for termination.
Right. I think it depends on what the lie is on your resume. And if it's totally mm-hmm. fictitious, I'm sure there's a law we can find. I'm sure you can fire this person. But
yeah.
I think if just maybe... You know, it's, I don't know, that they didn't actually work at that place.
Yeah.
I think it should be confronted.
That's what I was wondering. Do
yeah.
you say, look, I've discovered that this is
right.
not true information?
How do you explain this?
Yeah.
Explain it to me. Because they may have a legitimate response.
Uh-huh. What would be a legitimate response?
I thought about working there. No,
I'm trying to build my
pathological
career.
Pathological liar.
I mean, I think if someone had ever caught me and said, yeah. you know, look, you said you stayed there 3 years, you really only stayed there 2 years,
yeah.
I might have said something like, well, would you have hired me?
Uh-huh.
I mean, because the truth is I work better, harder than anyone else. So
yeah.
what I did in 2 years was like 3 years. I mean, I would have fudged it like that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what it is that the lie is. But
right.
so it has to be confronted, and there may be a legitimate answer.
Right. I think the thing that's interesting about this is that if someone lies on their resume, which you're saying is quite a common occurrence.
It could be a gap year that
right.
he didn't know how to show or she didn't know how
yes.
to show. And that's an explanation.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also wanting to be given an opportunity is what I hear you say, given mm-hmm. a chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I may say I have, like maybe this person said that they have floor management experience. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now this person is, now they're afraid that they won't be capable of doing it. So they said it because they want the chance.
And mm-hmm. If the person says, you're right, I'm sorry about that. Right. I really wanted to work here. You might be able to work something out. You may be able to give them less of a title, and maybe
reduce.
The salary is based on what you thought the person was bringing, and you find out now it's not.
Yeah.
So you might be able to rechange their classification,
uh-huh.
So this has to be thought through with each person.
Yeah.
What you're going to do. But if they're aggressive about it and they
yeah.
say, you know, no, I didn't, and they kind of get legal with you, you have to figure out another way to get rid of them.
Right. Because if they're not willing to admit, there's one thing about lying. There's another thing if you're caught in a lie,
right.
I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to admit it once
right.
you're caught,
right.
then you're a liar.
That's right. I think that's probably the biggest message is when
yeah.
caught. Own it.
Admit it.
Right.
Own it. That's always the best policy, I think.
Yeah.
Because we all, you know, I mean, I consider them mostly white lies or exaggeration.
Yes, we all do those.
We embellish things because it's
yes.
a matter of perception. So there's a certain amount that is understandable, even if
yeah.
you own that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, people will forgive. Maybe not forget, but they'll forgive a little bit.
Who among you has not lied, right? That's what you used to say back to the manager. You lie too, don't you?
Yeah, that won't work. Yeah, confront the
termination.
Person. Termination. Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, well, dear.
Yeah.
All right, so we confront this person. You find out what their reasons for not telling the truth were.
Right.
if they are, as you say, if they're reasonable, then you give them another chance.
And or you also reassess the position if you have to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And start interviewing again. Now, what should this person do the next time, this hiring, this departmental manager? What does this individual need to do next time so as to not repeat the same mistake?
You know, many companies check resumes.
Uh-huh.
They actually call the companies and get the dates. You know, they actually mm-hmm. check, did the person work there and what was their job description? And that's, I mean, I don't know why people don't do that. It's just, it's time consuming, but you actually can factually check a resume.
Right.
Unless the company is closed. You know, there is some of that.
I think, years ago, I think you were doing some hiring for someone, Kathy, and every company that the person cited had closed.
Yeah, we didn't hire that person.
Was that coincidence?
Did we
or was
hire that,
that
person? No, I have.
Just bad luck.
No, I've actually had clients who, during the recession, every company they work for either went out. They were on Wall Street. I mean, a lot of these, they work for small firms that are no longer around. But the people are around, hopefully.
You know, this is so interesting, though, because it brings up a whole other issue, which is that it's like if you hire when you're desperate, which it sounds like this person was, then you will tend to skip the steps, right? Because you just quickly need to get someone. It's like going grocery shopping when you're hungry. You're going to buy
saying,
the wrong things. Great minds think alike. So it's you're going to buy the wrong thing or make the wrong choice. So part of this, it always seems to me, is to be in the process, especially if you're in a retail. You should be constantly interviewing, right? And constantly getting lining up potential candidates to be working for.
Yeah, I also think, you know, I read resumes sort of as a story.
Uh-huh.
I'm sort of looking at the person's story. I'm not looking at the facts that much. Because you can write down that you know you've done all these things, but you may not have done them well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So I just see the story. That's really all I'm looking for. And how this person has handled their career.
Right.
So
but I wanted to another thing. I have another, so much to say today.
I know.
To that hiring person, which is many people hate the activity of hiring, don't they?
Yes.
They see
yes.
it as something that stops them from doing their job. You know, interferes with the real work to be done. And I think that that is such an it's a quandary actually, because selecting the right people is one of the most important things you do in your job, right?
Right.
So to make room for it or to hire someone like Kathy or someone, you know, who's really capable of helping you with that process, it's just so important to embrace the pain.
Of hiring?
Of hiring.
Yeah. See, I think if you
the requirement.
I think if you've had some bad hires, you really don't, you stop trusting your instincts.
Yes.
And, you know, instincts are hard to go by. I mean, you definitely can get a take when you meet somebody, like something, you know, may read wrong, but you don't really know what it is. I mean, you do have to listen to your gut, but if it hasn't always been accurate in hiring, then you have to just take your time.
That's it.
It's very
slow
time
motion
consuming.
Gets you there faster.
Yeah. It can be very time consuming and you have to really to put the person through a couple of exercises. I was just helping somebody who she wanted to know if she could give a test because she's never given a test before.
Yeah.
And I said, of course you should. It's a writing job. Of course you have to ask for samples and then you can ask them to come a half an hour early and give them, you know, facts about a story and have them write a story.
Yeah, right.
And she had never done that, which I couldn't believe. It's years and years in this PR department. So she's going to try that. But you have to take your time when hiring. See, that's really his biggest problem here is that he hired too quickly.
Right. And let them show you who they are. Because even the person who you asked to come a half hour early, you notice if they come a half hour early.
Right.
Or an hour early or 20 minutes late.
And how they do on the test.
Right.
If they sweat through it.
If they sweat and write something brilliant, then that could be worth it too, though.
Right. So if this person had taken their time through this process, they probably would have uncovered something seedy somewhere along the line, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they probably wouldn't have been hired. So that's part of it. But I think there's a certain amount of lying that's going to go on. Or it's subjective. Not
enhancing.
Right. Not everybody sees
embellishing.
It as, they don't see it as lying.
Packaging.
I mean, haven't you ever dated somebody that thought they were better looking than they are?
Oh, my Lord
and
Taylor.
Hello, so.
I mean,
Or they thought they were more charming than they are, or they thought they were better at things than they were. I mean, this is, a lot of people think that.
Mm-hmm. It's part of life. It is.
Part of the human condition. I mean, people think some that they're better than they are. And I find that people that their self-esteem is not as high, they sometimes underplay themselves too, which can hurt.
But that would be more my tendency, what I have done in the past.
You would I have to write your bio.
It's true.
Because Catherine would just say,
My name is Catherine Crowley.
Yeah.
I try to be a nice person. Yeah, I mean, no, it's true, though. And it's true about the low self-esteem because that hurts you because you're not giving yourself credit for what you have accomplished.
Well, they're afraid of being too boastful.
Right.
Right? They don't want to come off like the people that are so boastful that...
You wish they would shut up.
Right.
Well, those people, Logan, that was an interesting response on your part. You have some of those people
to interject.
In your life. No, I think it is so interesting that usually the people who have something that we could learn from can be irritating, right? Like the person who's great at promoting themselves all the time, if you're bad at that, they may irritate you quite a bit. And yet what you could use is exactly what they do that drives you crazy.
You're talking about Donald Trump?
I am.
Now, there's somebody who really thinks a lot of himself.
And it's done him quite well, right?
I suppose.
He's the greatest guy that ever lived. He has the best hotels in the world. The best. Whatever he does is the best.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, not really. Anyway. I don't know. Maybe if he had a real hairdo.
Wouldn't you love to see his resume?
Oh, my God.
Gosh. Gold-plated.
I would love to see his resume. So there is somebody who definitely lies.
Embellishes.
Yeah, embellishes. Yes. Right, so it's a matter of perception. All right, so I think we got through this.
We have.
Mm-hmm. We're going to just take a quick commercial break and come back and talk more about lying.
Yay.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hi, welcome back. I love this topic. I think it's so interesting.
It is.
You know, we all withhold the truth sometimes and say what we need to say because it's going to get us where we need to go.
Oh, right. Am I the only one speaking here?
Yeah.
No, like,
or
totally
or
right.
make someone
totally
feel
right.
better. That
oh, wait.
You don't
that's something
feel
Catherine does. Catherine does this. If she wants everyone to like her. So if you're, no matter what you're wearing, she tells you, oh, I love what you're wearing. And she does not. You don't love what they're wearing, right?
No, well, I will say I do embellish the truth. But however, I do look for the quality. If you listen carefully, I actually will say, I love that color or that shape is interesting on you. I try not to lie, a huge lie, but it's true. I try to notice what I like. It's true.
A good tactic. There has to be one thing in the ugly outfit that is.
There is. There almost always is. Like sometimes I'll say, wow, that's, you know, that's such a dramatic look.
Cool zipper.
Love those buttons.
Yeah.
So I know this about Catherine. It's 25 years of listening. To
so when interesting. I've never noticed. I'm gonna keep my ears peeled.
So when she tells me I look good, I'm like,
She doesn't believe me.
I don't
anymore.
Believe her.
Which is, and the truth
I think
is,
she wants something. She wants me to like her.
It's
that
like
day.
The little boy who cried
wolf.
I'm
afraid you don't like me
I'm
anymore.
I'm afraid she wants something that day. She wants me to.
No,
like
the other thing is I have very poor object memory, so I don't remember. And
that's,
so
that's a good thing.
Well, I always say to Kathy, I love that top in you. She's like, I've had it for 4 years.
I wear it once a week.
That's not a lie when I say that.
That may be. Well, that's good to know now. Next time you say, is that new?
Right. Well, if she said it every week, then that's, you know.
Sad, but true.
What's our next question, Logan?
I'm interviewing for a junior position at my graphic design firm. I'm looking for someone who can design logos, brands, and websites. I also want someone who can interface with my clients. Whoever I hire needs to be able to tell white lies to clients on those occasions when delays occur. How do I find out whether potential candidates for this job are comfortable stretching the truth when necessary?
All right, this is out of my league. Kathy,
okay, this is totally in my league. You know,
take the floor.
Some of you may find this really interesting, but when we ran support groups, now we have not done that for about 10 years.
Oh, yes.
We didn't have enough registration sometimes, so we would put fictitious names on the rosters.
I remember
so that people thought, and then I would say, oh, my, I don't know what happened to them. They fell out. So
wow.
Yeah. So those were white lies.
They were, and they
very
worked,
smart.
They worked for us because in the week or two that we bought time, we would fill those slots.
That's right. We'd say whoever it was couldn't make it.
They couldn't make it, and now we have
which
this
was
real,
true.
Which was true, right? Clearly, it was true. Now we have a real person. Oh.
And I'm actually thinking, growing up, my mother was one of those people who really treasured her privacy. So when people would call, and at those days, I mean, this is so long ago, we didn't have answering machines, but the kids would pick up, right? And we always had to say, Crowley's residence, Catherine Crowley speaking.
You did?
Yeah.
So we had formal.
So formal, right?
Yeah. It was all about the courtesy. But then we had to say, you know, she's not available or whatever. We had to make something up. Even if she was sitting right there, we had to make up reasons that she wasn't going to come to the phone.
Interesting.
So I learned to tell those white lies.
Did that upset you?
Sometimes I would think that it wasn't nice, you know, but whatever. I was a kid. I didn't know any better. Now I appreciate it.
See, like mother, like daughter, do you do that now? You don't do that.
I don't. I'm the one who always picks up the phone. Then Cliff is like,
shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love
that. Cliff is Catherine's husband, by the way.
That's right. And he'll tell the truth. He'll just say, no, I don't want to talk to you.
Now, some people can get away with that.
Okay,
so let's just talk about this question because this is really kind of critical because we, in a customer service-based business, in a business where you are delivering a service, I'm not talking about a product. Well, products have this, it could be the same way, but when you are trying to make customers happy, many things happen on the other side. You know, things are delivered late, they come in broken, things don't work out. I mean, we sometimes, to keep a customer from wanting their money back or walking away, we may have to say, it's on its way.
Yeah.
You should have that shortly. And then that shortly becomes another day. I mean, there is a necessity, if you're in a customer service position, sometimes to placate people.
Yeah.
And some might call that lying. And if, you know, there are people that won't do that. They believe that everybody should know the truth, know your website.
You mean like the manager's drunk? That's why we're not able to
deliver exactly. Right now. You're not going to get your website done for at least another 6 months.
Right.
We're too overbooked. That doesn't really work in business.
No.
So we sometimes have to tell white lies. And really what we're doing is... we're easing the pain. You hate the way I'm saying this. We're lying.
No, I know it's true. I know it's true. I'm just thinking of all the times of being at airports while you're waiting.
Right.
And like they give you teeny pieces of information at a time.
Right.
Until your flight's been canceled.
Right. That's code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How just as vague as you can be
about
actually telling them.
But
the
same thing is true because they may not know for sure that the flight is going to be canceled.
Right.
They just know that there is a delay. They can know it's highly likely that it will be canceled, but they can't say it until it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so same may be true for a website or a package or a design where something has happened that's delaying its delivery.
Right. This is reality. This really happens.
Yeah.
And... you know, the airport people, they really take a lot of abuse for this.
I know. I feel for them.
I know. I do, too. But so this happens every day in business. If you're in a customer service role, you're going to have to.
Right. Know. So you're really finding out if this is a customer service kind of person.
Right. If this person can do that, if they're comfortable doing that. Because if they're not comfortable doing that, they're going to avoid or give the wrong information or quit the job. They're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So you do have to be able to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, so you can ask the person, have they ever been put in a position where they had to tell a white lie? And how did that go?
And how do you deal with anger? Right. Angry customers.
Right. How do you deal with angry customers? Right. Yeah. Give me, well, you always want to ask, you know, give me an example of when you had to deal with an angry customer because you had to deliver bad news.
Right.
So, you
and
know.
I hope they're not lying when they give you the example.
Well, remember that everybody is slightly lying.
Then they're really skilled if they can lie about a lie. That's like.
Oh, that is a special skill.
That is a special skill.
Hire that person immediately.
You know what eventually happens is you can't keep track of all your lies. This is what happens to me. I can't really remember or keep track. So
and
that's
Kathy's making herself sound like a liar, and you're one of the most straightforward, honest people.
Well, I
know.
Will always pretty much tell the truth because because one of the reasons is because I can't remember. But
for sales purposes, sometimes you'll
if it's
augment.
For sale. Yeah, I mean, look, it's
like the groups.
Like many times, also a proposal. I say I'll have that to you on a particular day, and then whoops, you know, you couldn't. So that so we'll make up a story because you're
that
not going to tell the
more
truth.
Like me.
You can't if you say to the customer if you say the truth, which is I completely forgot.
Yeah.
You sound like a jerk.
Yeah. Right.
So you have to
you
say
sound incompetent.
Right. I got called away. I had another client emergency. I mean, I've used that one.
Yeah.
You've used that too. Right? We had a client emergency, so we're so sorry. We're getting to it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
not hurting anybody.
I don't think it is. Do you?
We hope not. No. And honestly, by and large, we are so honest. It's a little, you know.
Well, that's us, but
a little over the top. But
so for someone maybe who's fresh out of college, graduate, you know, mid-20s, and they've never really had that much experience before, what's advice for them, or how should they practice maybe?
Same way they lied to their parents.
Just substitute, you know, customer or parent for a customer in the, in the example.
I think that this is a fine art.
That's
of,
actually not a bad idea.
Well, that's the beginning of it, but I think this is a fine art of finessing.
Mm-hmm. You can ask your boss,
how do I handle this?
How shall I handle this? Because you may not know. I think that's a very fair question. Mm-hmm. And there's some standard lines. You know, it's like they say that term, let's circle back on this.
Right.
You know, whatever the heck that means. There are plenty of terms that are vague enough that you may not know coming out of college that your supervisor or an experienced colleague could tell you.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of opening up for me also that, I mean, we're just talking about lying now, but there is the whole ethics question, which we should get to in another time, because you may observe unethical behavior.
That's different.
And that's very different than what we're talking about. We're really talking about just the everyday white lies that most people are fairly comfortable with. Isn't that accurate? We'll be right with you.
Right.
That's different from like bribing somebody.
Right.
Right.
Or double billing.
Or extorting.
Right.
Yeah.
Or selling something that doesn't exist. Like Enron.
Yes.
You know, there's...
You know, the thing that's interesting, though, that Enron sparked a lot of research about this and how what can happen with a little lie is that you get used to, tell bigger and bigger little lies, right?
That's true.
To the point where you start to convince yourself that it's fine. Whatever you're not telling the truth about is fine. So in addition to you want someone to be able to tell a white lie about things being delayed, you also want someone who you know is telling you the truth. And therefore, to some degree, you as a boss, I think, need to be fairly honest as well.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just thinking about something that everybody really has an agenda at work, whether it's to get promoted, to, you know, get somebody fired.
Yeah.
We all have different agendas, and you really never know what those are.
Yeah.
So you really have to be careful. And honesty is not always the best policy when you're in that kind of a rat's nest.
Just to make you feel really good about your job, wherever you're working right now, you're in a rat's nest. Oh, well.
And people come in with their own agendas.
Right. Well,
bom, bom, bom.
Yeah.
And people will show you who they are. That, for me, is always the key, is that you just have to watch. And this took me years, really, to learn. It's not what someone says, it's what they do.
It's true.
So you really have to watch and see who a client is, who a colleague is, who a boss is, who the person is showing you through their actions that they
are. And don't just think it's a one-off. It's consistent. People are consistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we could go on about this forever. So if you're dealing with some sort of dishonesty or you're not comfortable with this, please let us know and maybe we can help you on an individual basis.
Please do, actually, and send us your situations, your stories, your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co. Tweet us your experience regarding lying or telling the truth at work. Tweet us at AskKate2. And if you like My Crazy Office, review us on iTunes. That's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.